Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2019 International Film Festival, Rotterdam, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Sam Ellison. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
We'll be talking today about your film, Cherchez la vie. Would you like to introduce it and tell us a little bit about its story or just anything you'd like?
Yeah, sure. Well, the film is about two Haitian migrants, two friends who get stuck at the U.S.-Mexico border in Tijuana. And they were part of a large group that arrived in 2016, shortly before the change of power in the United States. And our film follows the history of their relationship, actually, their friendship, in the context of this, you know, huge global geopolitical crisis. And we stay with them over the course of the next year as their friendship sort of falls apart. I don't want to give too much away,
sure.
The film is really about this much smaller story between two men, two young guys, and you know, within the headline news situation that I think we're all familiar with in some way.
Yeah, just as a very general, broad question to start off. I mean, I just wanted to ask you about your interest in this topic and like how you ended up filming in this environment.
Yeah, we started this film when I was living in California, and all these events were unfolding at the border in California. So to me, I considered this a local story, not like a foreign thing happening somewhere else. And so I just felt that I was already involved with the situation and already implicated in it. And so as a filmmaker and as someone who was looking for sort of a new place to apply my practice, I just naturally ended up looking into this stuff at the border. And we built a very small team of only four people, myself, a local Tijuana filmmaker named Abraham Avila, a U.S.-based Haitian-American anthropologist named Rachel Cantav, who is an essential part of the team because she can speak Creole, which is very necessary, and my partner Nora Mendes, who's a production designer in New York. And so it was the four of us that assembled sort of very quickly in Tijuana to start figuring out how to tell this story and who to tell it with.
Yeah, I mean, how did you find these two protagonists of the film, and when did you realize that they would be the ones that you wanted to focus on?
We sort of showed up in TJ, they call it TJ, not Tijuana, with the intention of spending a few days with no cameras and no recording equipment, just looking for some collaborators. We were looking for people who wanted to make a movie, like not who would allow us to follow them and like film what happens to them, but to be like much more actively involved in telling their story or framing their story, really. And I sort of think of the way we work as being something close to hybrid filmmaking, or not the strictest kind of austere documentary practice.
Yeah. Documentary itself is something that has no definition in my books.
I completely agree with you, and I'm not so interested in you know, questions of like how true or like how unaffected, you know, some situation is that you're making a film about, because like as soon as you introduce a camera, you've altered the dynamic. So yeah, we were more interested in making something that felt right emotionally to the people we were making the movie with, to Robbins and James, the two main characters.
How did you know when to, like, what situations to film them in, and how aware did you feel like you were, they were, of the cameras?
They were pretty aware the whole time. It was, you know, it's hard to get used to this whole apparatus. But we spent way more time on this project talking about what we would shoot than we did shooting it. So it was in some ways like we would all get together and like sit around for a while, try to think about what was happening that day for them, and like what we would want to film. You know, I was sort of treating it like as if we were shooting on film, like we had a limited amount of film stock or something, you know, because we just didn't have very much money and didn't have a lot of hard drive space.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we were just like trying to pick moments very, very consciously. Yeah. So we didn't roll a ton of footage on this project.
Right. But so were they happy? What was the reaction to the interest?
Yeah, they. I think if, you know, I think anyone's reaction at first is like, "Why are you interested in me?" You know, like, yeah. "What's special about me?" But James, especially, like the one of the two friends, is like a natural performer, and he's someone who likes a lot of attention and yeah. likes to be a leader and to be listened to, and so he sort of led. Like, he was easy to get on board because he wanted to be seen. And Robbins was just his closest friend, and so it was like he eventually tagged along.
No, but it's so great because like they seem to have such, both of them actually, I would say, have such strong personalities, but also such different personalities. Cinematically, it works great.
You
can't script these things almost, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Robbins is, you know, he ends up being the main character, I would say, of the film, and he's a bit more like poetic and a little bit more soulful. I shouldn't go around saying good or bad things about either of them, but
that's cool.
he's like the quieter one.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean he's also the one that doesn't have a family to go back to, and so he was less willing to like risk being deported the way James was because he didn't have any like support system to go back to in Haiti. And we see eventually James, I'm jumping to the end of the film now, but eventually James is kept in prison and deported, but when he goes back to where he started from, he has a place to go. He has family to stay with.
What I think is the important thing about this film is that it seems to capture a moment in time that cinema, because of the nature of what it is captures possibly for eternity, but it is a very short moment in time of these two people's lives. Now, do you ever think about that?
Yeah. It's
because as most people do after they meet and they hang out for a while, they go their separate way.
Absolutely, yeah. It is interesting to think about that because these two guys met on this journey. And we're very like closely connected for a few months, but really, as you said, it was really like maybe 6 months of time that they were traveling together. Mm. And yeah, the film, it's a transitory thing. It's a fleeting thing. And I think that's something. There's also something about the city of Tijuana that like is a site where these kinds of brief encounters occur. It's a quintessential border city, and it's a place where people are constantly being expelled to or taken away from, and so it's like it's constantly refreshing itself with new people, new lives, new attitudes. And I think, you know, there's something about the way this story works in the film and the way the relationship between James and Robbins works that like speaks to that environment or is affected by that environment.
It's interesting that you should say that because cinema has, of course, always been sort of fascinated by these types of environments. If we think of one of the most famous movies ever made, Casablanca, right?
Yeah,
it's
totally.
It's timeless, but like the human aspect and the human element of this story then also helps a viewer understand aspects of themes, social, political themes, such as the migration in this film and so on, better, to understand it better. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the most important things about trying to understand something like migration, which is such a big topic that it's like hard to even make sense of that, is to learn how to like cut through all the noise and all the nonsense and to like remember that when we're talking about like a big social issue like that what we're really talking about is like how it feels to be moving through these channels of mass migration and like how it feels to be stuck in one of these bottlenecks that, you know, there are similar places to Tijuana all over the world. And yeah, I think the important thing to do is to desensationalize these things and to just tune out a lot of the like headline news attitude.
Right. Would you consider yourself a political person?
Yes, I would definitely consider myself political, and I think this is a political film, but it's political in like a in a personal way. It's political in a small way.
Yeah. What would you say? What would you say your definition of a political film is?
I would say a political film is one that has a stance that has an implicit argument that applies to some, you know, moment in popular discourse. Mm. And I think this one clearly does. And you know, we can scale it all the way up and say this is a film that argues against borders and argues for you know, a much more open refugee asylum policy. But that's like a pretty obvious, easy statement to make.
It's an extreme statement too, I guess.
Yeah.
Borders are always going to be there whether we place them there or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the point is, I guess it's also such an extreme statement that in my opinion, it would also help encourage a dialogue, a debate, and maybe come up with a solution that's somewhere in between, you know, the extremes.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's like much smaller or like less extreme arguments that the film makes. And one of, you know, I don't know how deep into like U.S. policy we want to get, but there's all these protections that have been just taken and revoked from Haitian asylum seekers in the U.S. specifically in the last year or a year and a half. And you know, another argument that the film makes is that is totally unfair and unacceptable, and that these people should be given another chance.
Right. Something as well that we don't really particularly hear much about.
Yeah, and also, you know, everybody thinks that they know what the U.S.-Mexico border is, and like the kinds of things that happen there, and who is there. And I think one important, you know, claim that this film can make is that we're showing like another face of the border and another group of people that are there that like nobody really paid attention to, and it's really easy to feel that we understand, like that we know what all this is already. But the fact is that there is so much more nuance to it, and so many, you know, more unexpected people are ending up there. And it's important to remember that as well.
All right, Sam, on that note, I thank you very much for joining us. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks a lot. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.